Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Gary.
And we are in 1 Peter today, studying a new section, verses 7 through 11, that we've entitled Living with the End in View. He's been talking about judgment and living not in fear of the judgment of men, but living in fear of standing before God and having to give an account of our lives. And that ought to motivate us to put aside the things that are formerly that we were involved in that were evil and to live a righteous and godly life. So in verse 7, he says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And the end is near. Is that true?
Yes. The question is, how is that true, yeah. I think. There's a few possibilities here. He says the end of all things is at hand, and certainly that is true. But the question becomes, the end of what? And that's where I think there's some discussion about what he's talking about specifically here at the end of all things. Some people, there's basically four possibilities, the first of which is the destruction of Jerusalem. We can look back in history and see that, you know, that was not far from when this book was most likely written. And obviously, you know, you see already the contention and the strife and the murders and, you know, everything that's going on in Jerusalem, and it's about to blow up. And so, you know, it could be that he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem here, and that, you know, that's whenever they're all going to disperse and scatter throughout the world.
Yeah, and I don't really think that's what he's talking about. He says the end of all things. Mm-hmm. In the Jewish mindset, and again, we've talked about the Jewish tone of this letter, but I don't really think that's who he's what he's talking about here. In the Jewish mind, they would have thought the end of Jerusalem was the destruction of Jerusalem was the end of all things. Mm-hmm. But I don't really think that's what he's talking about here.
No, the second possibility is just the end of the world, and that would certainly be all things. The end of the world would be the end. That's supposed. What he's talking about.
Yeah, and that's possible. The one maybe contention someone might raise is he says the end of all things is at hand, or some translations say the end of all things is near. Well, you know, that's been almost 2,000 years ago, so near would be relative in the terms of, you know, eternity. Near would be relative. So it's possible that's it, but that would be the one caveat that someone might raise in contention about that.
Yeah, it's – and, you know, you got to put that in, you know, because you have multiple points in Revelation where it talks about the end is near and that kind of thing. And, I mean, that's it's where you have to look at more of a broad view of life and the way that God does and say, you know, near is maybe a relative term. The third is the end of their life specifically. It's the end of all things for them.
Yeah, and that maybe is the most likely thing. The end of their life is at hand, and so you know, again, our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And especially when you're the suffering they were enduring, literally their life was put at risk with all of this. So that would be certainly something that would be very likely that he could be meaning here.
That's the one that I lean toward. The fourth one is just the end of their suffering. Obviously, you know, suffering has been a big theme, and he's been talking about, you know, how to deal with suffering, how that they should handle their suffering, how that they should be willing to suffer, how that Christ suffered, and we're supposed to follow that pattern. And so kind of that fourth idea, which, you know, I guess would fall into the other three. You know, that's kind of like the catch-all of, you know, regardless, it's going to be the end of their suffering.
Yeah, and the ones that would think along this lines would probably connect it back to chapter 1 and verse 6, where he says that if you suffer now for a little while, and so the end of it is near since you're only suffering for a little while. But I do think, you know, other than the first one, all three are really kind of saying the same things. They're really all three connected. If it's the end of your life, that's the end of your living on this world and the end of your suffering. If it's the end of the world that he's talking about, that would be the end of your life on the, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think really he could be saying that suffering will be over in this life, but there's no promise that suffering will end this life. But anyway, the point that he's making, of course, is since your end is near, whatever that might be, there's a certain way that you need to react to that.
Yeah, and I think no matter kind of what stance you take on those four possibilities there, obviously the application is the same because you're suffering right now and it's about to be over. Now, whether it's just the suffering or your life or whatever, that is up for debate. But the idea is you're suffering right now, but it's not going to last forever. And so while that remains, and while you're still in the circumstance that you've been given, he gives us two commands here. The first is to be self-controlled.
Yeah, therefore, because the end is near, he says you need to be of self-controlled or be of sound judgment, some translations say. And there's two commands, as you said. This is an imperative. You're going to be judged. Judgment is near. So you need to be reasonable. You need to be serious. You need to be self-controlled. You don't need to be falling in line with all of those ways that you formerly lived, but now live according to the will of God, not your own desires.
Or just be, you know, living flippantly and kind of making last minute decisions about
not
well,
thinking
I've
with
got
a long
time,
term
so I'll go back to my old buddies and whatever, you know. This
and then
is
I've got time
the
to
time
make
to
things
treat
right
it seriously.
Later.
Yeah, I'll figure it out later, kind of thing. This is, you know, what we might say. This is the time to lock in and, you know, treat it seriously. So be self-controlled. The second command here is to be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers.
Yeah. In chapter 5 and verse 8, it's kind of the same idea. Be watchful. Mm-hmm. Be careful. And he's told us, you know, we need to be, he says, for the sake of your prayers, we need to be sober. We need to be sound-minded about the idea even of prayer itself. If you go back up to chapter 3 and verse 7, when he's talking to the husbands, that was one of the reasons why that he said that they needed to live in an understanding way.
So I was just thinking about your prayers wouldn't be hindered.
That's right. And then in verse 12 of chapter 3, remember he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who don't do evil. So if you know that the end is near, like, that would be the time, especially, you want to talk to God.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about end of life, end of world, whatever, I want to talk to God, and I don't want to live in such a way that God is going to turn his face away from me, especially in that end, you know, it's getting near the buzzer, you know, so to speak. I want to make sure that I'm in a position where I have a relationship with God where I can come to him and talk to him.
Well, and this is something, I mean, if you look back at verse 3 and all the descriptions of sins that he's talking about, how more manageable would that whole list be if our focus was being self-controlled and sober-minded? That we're being in control of our mind and control of our actions and we're having a spiritual focus. That takes care of all of that, you know. And so this is kind of Peter's guidance to them to say, you know, I know this is a temptation. I know this is something that you may be struggling with. I know that you might have suffering that's in your future, maybe suffering that's going on right now. So since you have all this going on in the back of your mind, and since because that's the case, your spiritual life could be in danger, be self-controlled and be sober-minded so that you can continue in your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, and the end being near not only means that it ought to affect the way we treat our relationship with the Lord, but also how we treat our relationship with each other. He'll talk about that in verses 8 and 9, mm-hmm. and we will talk about that tomorrow, Lord willing. We hope that you will join us tomorrow as we have another episode of Scripture Spotlight from 1 Peter chapter 4. We hope you'll like, share, subscribe, comment, ask questions if you have them. We'd love to address those, tell others about this program, and most of all, we hope that you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes a day to study along with us in God's Word as we seek to find the message that God has for us in our lives in Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.